Isaiah chapter 66. Just want to read one verse. Verse 12, the Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees." Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to preach. Give us power and liberty. Give us wisdom and strength. And I pray you give us a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. Speak to hearts. Encourage Christians. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'll bring you a little message this morning called Peace Like a River. And that very first song we sang there, that hymn, said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." Christian life ought to be the river of life, eternal life, but it also ought to be a river of peace. Christian experience ought to be a peaceful experience, and God compares it to a river. And so I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes this morning. We sing all kind of songs about rivers. They're all through Christian hymns and popular Southern gospel music. All have songs about rivers in them. Jimmy Swaggart, while he's not our favorite person, used to sing a song called "There Is a River." And it was a beautiful, beautiful song. And the Cathedrals sing a song, "Rivers of Joy," and talking about the experience of the heart once a person is in Christ. And you can just go on and on about songs about rivers from the Bible. If you pick up a concordance and look under river, you'll find almost two whole pages of references to rivers in the Word of God. They're everywhere. And so we want to talk about that for just a few minutes this morning. Nothing, I don't suppose, can look any more peaceful, any more tranquil, any more pleasant than a gentle river flowing and meandering through a valley between two mountaintops. Stand on the hillside and watch that gentle stream as it flows down between the hills. And it's a picture of serenity and a picture of peace. And God said that he would extend peace like a river. And so the peace in the Christian's heart, the peace in a Christian's life ought to be perpetual and continuous like the flow of a river. Now, one of the primary characteristics of a Christian life is supposed to be peace. It's not supposed to be turmoil. It's not supposed to be upset. It's not supposed to be fear and anxiety. As people who are saved by God's grace, you and I ought to possess a continual and a perpetual peace in our heart. Now, I know that we don't always do that, but we should. And when we don't, we have forfeited our birthright. We're entitled to that from God. The Bible said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, so give I." In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible said we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 15:33, the Bible said, "Now the God of peace be with you all." In Ephesians 2:14, the Bible said, "He is our peace." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible said, "The Lord of peace himself give you peace." And so as a Christian, you're entitled to have peace in your heart. And it ought to be a peace like a river. It ought to flow. It ought to be unending. It ought to always be there. And so I got to thinking about that, and then I looked at the average Christian experience. And you don't seem to see that. When you first look around, most of the Christians you see are having troubles and upsets and disappointments and heartache and heartbreak and fears and sickness and all kind of things. And you say, well, where is the peace that he promised? Well, I got to looking at that, and I have 13 or 14 things here I wanted to share with you briefly this morning. Peace is supposed to be like a river. That's what he said. "I will extend peace unto them like a river." Well, so I said, well, if I want to understand what this peace that God gives is like, then I need to look at a river to find out what it is. That's the analogy. That's the picture. That was the comparison. He said, peace like a river. Well, in what sense? Well, when you look at the rivers, first glance, I didn't see it. Because here's what you see when you look at a river. While nothing can be quite as peaceful or tranquil as a river, nothing can be soothe your spirit and calm your inner conflicts like a peaceful river. I know a lot of times when I get something on my mind, I'll ride out to the river. I just park on the bank. I just sit there and watch it. You know, I just sit there and say, what are you looking at? I don't know. I'm just looking, you know. I like to see the water. I like to see the seagull. You can sit there and think. You can meditate. You can do it. Matter of fact, I asked my wife this morning. I said, if it's still raining after lunch today, I said, why don't you ride out to the river with me? And she said, what for? I said, just sit there. Just like to look at the water, look at the seagulls. It's just calming. It's just, I enjoy it. Amen. It's so peaceful there. And she said, okay, well, if you won't stay too long, I'll go, because she don't want to mess up her nap. I know what she's talking about. She wants to go home and sleep. And so if it's still rainy and foggy this afternoon, I'm going to take my wife out and pull her over close to me and sit there in the front seat of our car and just look at the water and the gulls and watch the breeze blow across the line. It's just kind of a nice place. It's a beautiful, quieting thing to see a peaceful river. Problem is, I got to looking at rivers, and here's some things I thought about when I thought about rivers. And so if you'll let me give you these nine things, then I'll give you four things to sum it all up. Amen? And so, rivers. We're supposed to have peace like a river. Well, I find that all rivers are in valleys. There are no rivers up on the mountainside. Amen? Now, you can have a waterfall down a mountainside, but it's going to land in a river, and the river is always going to be in the low place. If you've got a hill here and a hill here, the river's in the bottom. Amen? Rivers are in the valleys. And that's where you'd expect them to be. Everything runs down, and so wherever the low point's at, that's where the water's going to go. Wherever the point of least resistance is, that's where the water's going to flow. And so if you go looking for a river, you don't climb mountains to find them. You go down in the valleys. You find the low places. Amen? And I got to thinking about that. Rivers are in the valleys. Well, people talking about peace, you know, peace like a river. Do you know where the most peace is at in your Christian life? People say, well, preacher, I want the mountaintop experiences. Boy, I just want to be on the mountaintop with God and sing it out and shout it out and just rejoice and have a good old time. Well, I like the mountaintop experiences too, and I think the beautiful view from up there is beautiful and enchanting. But the truth is that down in the valley of life, when troubles come and things aren't going your way, is where you're normally the closest to God, not on the mountaintop. You see, when you're down in the valley, when you're having problems, that's when you draw nigh to God. Human nature being what it is, when things get to going well, we don't need God as much. We get a little further away from God. We grow more distant. And we rejoice in the good times more than we actually rejoice in God. And so when we get down in the valley, we draw nigh unto God. And when God comforts you in trouble and gives you peace in your heart, that's where you get most of the peace in your Christian life. It's in times of trouble, not in good times. It's in the valley, not on the mountain. It's down by the riverside. Amen. Now, not only are the rivers in valleys, I observed that not all rivers are the same size. Some rivers are large and long. Some are small and short. The Amazon and the Nile and the Euphrates, those are all gigantic rivers. They are long, long rivers. They go on for a couple of thousand miles. And cover vast distances. Yet there are other rivers that are only a few short miles long. And they're never much more than a big creek, really. I mean, they're not wide, they're not deep, and they're not long. But still, they're classified as a river. We have here in our neighborhood the Catawba River. And that thing actually runs from up in the mountains of North Carolina all down through here. And I don't know where all it goes down toward the ocean, but it's a pretty good-sized river in some places. I've been across some bridges where it says Catawba River, and you look down there, and it's just a little muddy stream. You get up on the other side of Marion, North Carolina, and the Catawba River up there is not much of a river. You get down here by Buster Boyd and down through that way, and it's a pretty good-sized river. Amen? Now, you say, well, what's the point? Well, I was thinking about them rivers. Some are long. Some are big, some are short, some are small. That's kind of like Christian life. You know, some people get saved when they're very, very young. And they serve God all their days. And they live to be 75, 80 years old. And all the time they serve God, they're faithful and zealous, and they get a lot done for God. That's a long river. That's a big river. Some people's lives are a real testimony and tribute to the saving grace of Almighty God. They get saved early, they live long, and they do much in their Christian life. Some folks get saved late. Or maybe they get saved early, but they never do much for Jesus Christ. There are lots and lots of Christians. I really believe they're saved. They're on their way to glory, but they haven't been worth 15 cents to God since the day they got saved. They've never amounted to much. They've never accomplished anything. They're not soul winners. They're not good testimonies. They're just saved by the grace of God. Amen? A lot of folks get saved and they die early. Those are short rivers, and those are rivers that are small. They never accomplish much for God. Amen. And so you can make a comparison between Christians who live long lives and who do much with large rivers. You can compare Christians who are not saved quite so long and who accomplish little with the smaller rivers. And so Christianity can be pictured or compared to those rivers without a great deal of problem. And not only are some big and long and that kind of thing, some rivers are clean and clear and pure. There are some rivers. You go and you get up in the mountains, and they call them little streams up there, but they're little rivers, all they are. They call them trout streams and that kind of thing. The water is just absolutely crystal clear. We were up at Cherokee a couple years ago and went through they got the bear dens and all that there, and they got this swinging bridge thing that you can walk across to get over where the chief's got his teepee and all, where you get the kid pictures made and that kind of stuff. And there's a river flows down through there. I don't remember what the name of it was. But when we walked by there, there was a couple of young fellas down there in the water up to about their knees with their fly rods. They were trout fishing, catching those lake trout, brown trout, mountain trout, rainbow trout, and all that kind of stuff. And we looked down there, and they were standing in the water, and it was up to their knees, and you could see the rocks they were standing on. Well, about that time, we started across the little bridge, and that fella flipped that thing out there and hit that jig, and that big old trout hit it. And we're standing on the bridge, and that thing is probably 75, 80 feet away from us, and you could see that trout in that water doing this while he was fighting. The water was clear and beautiful. You know, some folks get saved, and they fall in love with God, and their Christian experience is just like that river. It is clear and clean and pure. They never get backslid on God. They never do anything that would disgrace God. They never do anything to mar their testimony. Their life is pure. It's exemplary. They're a great testimony for God. You could point at them and say, now there's a fellow that got saved when he was 13, 14 years old, and he's lived his whole life for God, and he's never been out in sin, and he's never disgraced God. His life is clean and pure, just like that river. Amen. Now, on the other hand, some rivers are muddy and polluted, dark water. I've seen rivers, especially, you know, after a rain or something, you go and the water's racing down through its banks, and it's all muddy, and you can't see anything. If you put your hand in it, you couldn't see your hand. You can't find anything. You can't locate anything. You wouldn't want to drink it. You can see the mud in it. You know, it's discolored. It's nasty water. And before it'd be of any good, somebody had to clean it up and purify it. You say, well, it's a river, and it's running. Yes, it is. But it's not a pure river. It's not a clean river. Amen? And a lot of Christians are like that. They get saved by God's grace. They really are saved. They are going to end up in heaven with you. Whether you want to believe that or not, they're going. It's the grace of God that salvation is so simple. It's the grace of God that salvation is a free gift to a sinner who will ask God to save him. Amen. It is not dependent on how we live after we get saved. We know how we ought to live, but we also know a lot of people don't. But they're just as saved. Once God gives unto them eternal life, he never takes it away. And so they get saved, and God washes them up and cleans them up, and they get all fixed up, and they start down the river of life and all that, and everything is just fine. But it's not long till they do things that mar their testimony, that defile their body, that defile their conscience, that hurt their cause of Christ. They do things. They get into situations. They participate in habits. They go places. They run with people that tarnish their testimony and their usefulness for Jesus Christ. Muddy the water. The river becomes polluted. Their testimony is not what it ought to be. Amen? Now, not all, some rivers, not all rivers, but some rivers are white water almost the whole way. They got some little rivers up in North Carolina, the Nappahala and a couple others up there, that everywhere you look, there's white water. The water is crystal clear. It is cold as ice, but everywhere you look, there's rocks in it. And the rapids are awful. Matter of fact, people spend millions of dollars every year up in the mountains of North Carolina to go whitewater rafting. You go up there, you get your little canoe or a boat or a raft or something, and you or somebody else jump in that thing, and down the river you go. And the water is swift, the water is cold, and the water is treacherous. Amen? I mean, you got to stay on guard all the time. You say, well, preacher, what kind of Christian is that? That's a picture of a fellow that gets saved by God's grace and just never does get a handle on Christianity. Never understands what he got into. Never understands the grace of God. Never understands the consequences of his action. Never understands eternity laid out before. Never gets a comprehension of salvation in its entirety. He got in and he's saved, but his Christianity is a constant fight and turmoil his entire Christian life. He just never can quite get in and get fixed. He tries, he wants to, but the world tugs at him, and he is in a constant state of turmoil and frustration his entire life. He just never can make a clean break with the world. He never can quite subdue the flesh. He never can just quite get in church. He can't get a handle on tithing. It is always a fight. Saved by God's grace and on his way to the city, but never enjoying it, never understanding it, never being at peace with it. He's a whitewater guy. You know, the whitewater thing down in Arkansas. Now, so rivers, while they can be beautiful and while they can be peaceful, often are not. A lot of times rivers are very treacherous. Well, I'll tell you some things rivers are supposed to do. Rivers are supposed to give life to the land which they pass through. You go over in the Middle East, and they have a thing over there called the Fertile Crescent. And on this side is desert, and on that side is desert. But right down the middle, there's a little streak there that is just green and lush. Trees and vegetation, and that's where people live, and that's where they raise their cattle and all that. And you say, what is that? It's right along the Nile River. That river gives life to an otherwise barren and desolate land. You take the rivers out of North Carolina, North Carolina would dry. You take the rivers out of South Carolina, and the crops and all are going to die. You got to have the rivers to have life. Amen? And so rivers are supposed to give life to the land which they pass through. And I'm here to tell you that a Christian ought to be given life to the land that he occupies. Wherever you're at, wherever you live, wherever you go to church, wherever you work, your life ought to be an inspiration to others. You ought to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ought to be a soul winner. Your life ought to be giving life to the land that it passes through. Your river ought not to be wasted. It ought not to be polluted. It ought to be a life-giving source. It ought to be a refreshing thing in the lives of others. Amen? As a Christian, you're supposed to be a life giver. You're supposed to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this about rivers. All rivers can be unpredictable. You take the prettiest river in the world, and you stand on the bank, and you look at it, and the current gently flows, and you see the little leaves fall off of the tree and flutter into the water and gently carried downstream, you know. And you see the little fish come up to the top and pop the water and get the the ladybug or whatever, and the water swirls. It's just beautiful to watch. But you realize 200 yards down the river, quarter mile down the river, you could run into rapids. You could run into low ground and the current pick up and become so treacherous that you can't swim in it, that you couldn't cross it no matter what you tried to do. That thing could go from being gentle and pleasant and tranquil in just a little while to being a raging body of water that you cannot master and that you cannot control. That thing start out beautiful, end up a killer. It could start out beautiful and end up ugly. It could start out calm and end up a raging monster. Amen. Rivers are unpredictable. I'm going to tell you something. Life is unpredictable, and your Christianity is unpredictable. I've seen people say, well, preacher, I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm going to serve Jesus until the rapture, until the day I die. And a year later, 6 years or 6 months later, they're not serving God. They're not in church. They got in some kind of trouble. They got in some kind of sin. They got mad about something, and they're out of church, and they're out of fellowship, and they're not doing anything for God. What happened? Life is unpredictable, like a river. Amen? Now, not only that, all rivers empty into the sea. Now, I like this part. I don't care whether it's the long, broad river. I don't care if it's the short and narrow stream. I don't care if it's the beautiful, crystal clear, ice-cold water, or if it's the muddy, murky waters of the Catawba after a big storm. It doesn't make any difference. All rivers empty into the sea. They all end up in the same place. And while your Christian experience may not be like somebody else's, some people may get saved and have a good life and everything go their way and enjoy health and prosperity and serve God for 50 or 60 years and go home to God and never have had a fight and never have been in any turmoil. Just the next door neighbor may be saved by God's grace, and their entire Christian experience has been a fight and has been a struggle, has been a warfare the whole time. They have had more than their fair share of trouble. Nothing seems to have gone their way. They had financial problems. They had health problems. They had family problems. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. But they end up in the same place. If you're saved by God's grace, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, I'm here to tell you, regardless of what your experience is, I tell you where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in the sea of God's love. You're going to end up on that beautiful sea of glass over in Revelation chapter 4. Amen. I know where you're going to end up. You may end up there covered in mud from muddy water. You may wind up there robed in white from the crystal stream. I don't know how you're going to get there. I don't know what kind of shape you're going to be in, but I know where you're going to end up. If you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've ever been washed in the blood, I know where you're going. All rivers empty into the sea. Isn't that a blessing? You say, preacher, I've just enjoyed my Christian life, and God has been so good to me, and it's just been one blessing after another. Thank God. You say, preacher, boy, since the day I got saved, the devil's been on my back. The flesh has been a terror. The world has not left me alone. I haven't had any peace or joy since the day I got saved. It's been a fight. You're going the same place. You've got the same future. Aren't you glad that they all rivers empty into the sea? Amen. Now, it said, I will extend peace unto them like a river. Yet when we look at rivers, we don't see peace like you first think about it. Those rivers are in motion. Those rivers have courses. Those rivers have obstacles. They are not always peaceful. They are not always placid. They are not always tranquil. So then why the analogy, I will extend unto them peace like a river? Well, let me give you four things. Here's how the Christian life has perpetual peace like a river. A river, there is perfect peace about its purpose. The river's purpose is to bring beauty and give life. That's what rivers do. The purpose of a river is to give life. It brings life-giving water. And that life-giving water brings greenery. It brings plants and animals. It brings beauty, the beauty of nature, along the banks of the river. The prettiest parts of any country are always along its waterways. Rivers bring beauty. Rivers bring life. Amen. Now listen. You're supposed to have peace like a river. There ought to be peace about your purpose for being here. Amen. People say, well, what's the purpose in life? Your purpose in life is to give life to others. As a Christian, your existence is to bring life to others. You ought to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. There ought not to be any turmoil. There ought not to be any question. There ought not to be any doubt about what your purpose in life as a Christian is. You're to be a soul winner. You're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. But not only are you to bring life, you are to bring beauty. The river brings beauty, and your life ought to bring beauty. You are to live your life in the beauty of holiness. That is, your testimony, your countenance, your walk of life, your conversation ought to be such that it reflects the glory of God. It ought to be such that it entices sinners to want what you've got. Your life ought to be so radiant with the love of God and the holiness of God. You ought to have the peace of God on your life so that sinners who are in turmoil and who are in fear and who have no purpose and no direction will come to you because they see in you the beauty of your Savior. They see that your life is different. And so there ought to be peace in the life of every Christian about his purpose in being here. Not only that, every Christian ought to have, like a river, peace about its direction. Now, you say, well, which way do the rivers flow? Toward the sea. You say, well, is that north, south, east, or west? I don't know, but it's toward the sea. You got it? Doesn't make any difference whether it's north, south, east, or west, as long as it's to the sea. A river has only got one direction. I don't care how many directions there are, a river's got one. It's going to flow toward the sea. Amen? You say, well, how do you know that? Look, the river's going this way, and right down there it bends and goes that way. I don't care how many bends there are in a river. It's going to end up at the sea. Amen? There's a Southern Gospel group, New River, got a song that they sang. Called New River, and in that song it talks about it's just another bend in the river of life. Life's not always predictable. It's not always straightforward. There's some twists and turns. There's some unexpected things, but I tell you where it's going to go. It's going to go to the sea. Amen. Every Christian ought to have peace about where you're going when this thing is over. Now, you may not have peace about every day and every step, and some things may occur that you're not expecting and that you certainly didn't want, and if you had written the program yourself, you'd have left that part out. But I'm here to guarantee you on the authority of the Word of God that if you're saved by God's grace, I know where you're going to end up, because all rivers run into the sea. Amen? And so your direction, even though there may be bends and twists and turns, your direction is toward heaven. Amen? That's where I'm going. That's where I'm headed. So I've got peace about my purpose. I've got peace about direction. Then I've got peace that if the river gets out of the banks, it will return to its course. So what do you mean? Well, sometimes rivers, they have floods. They have a big rain, and rain for 3 or 4 days, and about 100 gallons a second coming down, you know. And here's this little river, and they say, flood stage is 32 feet, and the river is expected to crest tomorrow at noon, and they think it's going to crest at 36 feet, 4 feet above flood level. That means that that thing is going to get out of its banks and flood the land, and you're going to have a minimum of 4 feet of excess water going through the countryside. And boy, you look out there sometimes, and you look at those little old rivers and stuff, and they've got up over the bridges, and the whole countryside looks like water. Water just going everywhere. You come back in 2 or 3 days after the rain's quit, and you know where the river's at? Right back in the same bend where it was. It got out of the banks, but it came back to its course. Now listen, if you're saved by God's grace, there's no guarantee that you don't get out of the banks. There's no guarantee that you won't make mistakes. There's no guarantee that you won't get out of fellowship with God. There's no guarantee that everything's going to be perfect. Sometimes you have floods in your Christian life. Sometimes you get off course. Sometimes you get out of the banks. But if you're saved by God's grace, it's just a matter of time
God has a way of working in your life. God has a way of getting the river back where it's supposed to be. God has a way of getting his children back in fellowship. Takes some longer than others, but God gets them. Amen. So I have peace about this, that no matter what happens, and if no matter what comes in my life, no matter what pushes me off course, no matter what gets me out of the banks, God is going to make sure that I end up back on course and that I end up back at the sea. Amen. So what's that? I'm saying God's going to look out for me. I'm glad I'm saved because I've got a guarantee of where I end up. Now, not only that, I've got peace about the future. Now, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6, there's a sea of glass up there. All rivers flow into the sea. I know where I'm going when I die. I know where my life is going to end up. I do not know everything that's going to happen that will affect the river. I don't know every branch that's going to fall in. I don't know every rain that's going to come. I don't know every bend in the river. I don't know where every rock and where every rapid's at. And I'm sure it's always going to be quiet and peaceful. It is not always going to be tranquil. There are going to be some difficult times, some hard times, some really rough times. But they're just temporary. I know where I'm going when it's over. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Why stand you men of Galilee gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which went up shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go. He went, and he's coming back. He went to prepare a place, and when I get there, I'll have a place prepared. I know where I'm going. Amen? I have peace about the future. Amen. Now, you say, well, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. He said, I will extend unto them peace like a river. And he did, and he does, and he will. I have peace like a river. That doesn't mean that everything in my life has to be peaceful and tranquil. But in the bed of the river, and in the course of the river, and in the life of the river, the end is predetermined. And so I have peace based on the promises of God. I have peace based on the assurances of God. I have peace based on the authority of God. God said that he would save me, and that he would keep me, and that he would protect me, and that he would provide for me, and that ultimately he would get me home to glory in one piece, and give me a body like unto his glorious body, and that I would have eternal life and dwell with him forever. And so while I can't have peace in every circumstance, I can have peace about the outcome. And while I can't have peace about every moment, I can have peace about the end of the thing. I can have peace about the future. So how do you do that? Trust in God. Listen to God. Believe God. God said it, and I believe it. And that settled it. Amen? Now listen, if you're saved by God's grace, God wants you to have peace. But don't get all confused and say, well, God promised me peace, and I've had this problem, and I've had that problem. God never promised you wouldn't have problems. But he did say the peace that passes all understanding was yours. It did say the God of peace shall give you peace. It did say that we have peace with God. See, you have to understand the nature of the peace. It's a spiritual peace. It's an inner peace. It's a peace about who you are, what you are, where you're going, who's getting you there. You ought to have peace about all those things. You can't have peace about every situation in life. Somebody tells you you got cancer, you won't have peace about that. People say, well, just trust the Lord. I do. But still scary. Amen. There's a bend in the river I'm not looking for. But it won't keep the river from coming out of the right place. See? So you have to have peace. You have to have it in the right perspective. You have to have it about the right thing. And God's people are entitled to peace in their heart if they would just believe God and trust him. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness.